اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وبه نستعين. ثم صلاة وسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. صلى على محمد وعلى محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، أرواحنا له فداء. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، مثل الذين اتخذوا من دون الله أولياء كمثل العنكبوت اتخذت بيتا وإن أوحن البيوت لبيت العنكبوت ولو كانوا يعلمون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, today we'll speak about one of the parables that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he mentions in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ankabut, just chapter 29 of the Quran, verse 41. And this particular parable, as we mentioned before, that many Arab linguists, they say that the core of the language is in parables. That when we want to find the meaning of things and how things are expressed, they're in parables. And this particular verse, it gives us that meaning. It is an example of that, as we shall explain, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he states in verse 41 of Surah Al-Ankabut, the parable of those who take others as their guardians instead of Allah is that of the spider that takes a home. And indeed, the weakest of homes is the spider, the home of the spider. Only if they knew. When we look at the verse is simple, is straightforward, but it is deep. And this is the core of the language. That when it's something, it appears to be simple, but in its meaning, it is very deep. What we see in this verse is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he parallels two things, or there are two key words in this verse, awliya and bait. The walayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the guardianship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because walayat encompasses all of these things. And then we see bait. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is putting these things together, these two keywords. So it is good to understand in depth that what are the meanings of these words? Al-wilaya, or al-wilaya, the wilayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the guardianship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the guide, he is the guardian of those who believe, whereby he takes them out of darkness, the darkness of sin, the darkness of ignorance, into the light of forgiveness, into the light of knowledge, into the light of his mercy. The second term, he says, al-bayt. So those who take an authority or a guardian other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are like the spiders who take a home, and the weakest of homes. And this particular word, al-bayt, in Arabic, when we look at it, what it means is that it is a place of security. It is a place in which the Arabs, even before the wahi of the Quran, before the revelation of the Quran, they used the word bayt as a place that they would go to at night because it was a place of security. Whereas manzil, in modern Arabic, you say manzil is a house or bayt is a house. But in the classical Arabic, there's a difference between bayt and different between manzil. Manzil is a place of resting. It's a place that if someone was on a travel, they were traveling somewhere, they would stop at a water hole and they would drink. Just as if we're on a long journey, we may stop at a rest stop, you know, to refresh ourselves. Maybe to take some rest until we continue our journey. But al-bayt was your point of reference, your point of home, because there was security in the bayt, there was security in the house. Whereas the rest stop, there wasn't much security. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He likens His wilayat to a firm house, a firm place of security. Whereas those who take a walaya or authority or guardianship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that place is not secure or as secure as the place of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He brings this example, He states this in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 125. He says, وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنًا وَاتَّخَذُوا مِنْ مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the house, and here He's referring to the Ka'aba, Baytullah. He has made His house a place of reference, a place of security. وَاتَّخَذُوا مِنْ مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. And in that house, or in the vicinity of that house, there's a place where people have taken it as a sanctuary, a place to pray, a place to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by understanding this, we can derive or we can understand that, again, one of the kind of miracles of the Quran, even just linguistically, why was the language of the Quran so amazing to the Arabs? This is one of the verses that this comes out in. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even with a simple word as house, as bait, He actually raises the concept of this. Whereas a bait was simply a place that a person they went back to for security, for rest. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, He's saying that a house, a complete house, and the most firmest and strongest of a house is not only that house where there's security in it, there's safety in it, but there's also a place of worship and there's also a place of ibadah. There's a point of guidance as well. So if you want to have the strongest of houses, the strongest of homes, the most secure of homes, then yes, it should be a place of security. It should be a place of ease. But also, it should be a place of ibadah and worship, and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be in that home. The bayt of the Ankabut, or the home of the Ankabut, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He states, وَأَوْحَنُ الْبَيُوتِ. It is the weakest of homes. And when we look at the spider, it spins its web. And for the spider thinks that its home is the strongest of homes. And this is because the spider is basing its understanding of what a home should be based on the most primordial sense of knowledge, the most basic understanding. And that is its nature, its fitrah. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the spider with, is that fitrah. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying is that in reality, or if that spider had even more than just this primordial and natural sense of understanding, it would make even a stronger home. Just like those individuals who intend to take guidance from a place, take knowledge from a place, that if they only knew and used their intellect, then they would choose the best of guidance. And that would be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we understand this as some of the commentators of the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives this parable of the home of the spiders, He says, وَلَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ, that if those who were intending to take other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as their guide, if they knew that their choice was like the choice of the spider, taking the weakest of homes, they would not take that as their home. The verse immediately following, verse 41 of Surah Al-Ankabut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ مِن شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. So as some commentators, they say, there's an emphasis here based on knowledge. Their choice would have been different. لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ, only if they knew. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, he knows who they are calling upon aside from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone takes a guardian other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows. He has knowledge of this. So as some of the commentators they state, is that this choice in guidance and seeking guidance is a choice that should be made upon knowledge, should be made upon understanding. That to examine that, should I choose this house or that home? Should I choose this as my guide, this individual, or should I choose someone else as my guide? That is our responsibility, to go forth and to look and to see. We have this parable also in our own culture in English, the story that quite often we're told as children, the three pigs. One pig, the elder pig, he made his house of bricks. The middle pig, he made his house of wood. And the youngest made his house of straw. And constantly, the elder pig was telling the younger pig, he says, make your house of bricks, because it is a stronger house. It is more sturdy. So it is our choice, our understanding, our perception, and looking for guidance. And of course, alhamdulillah, that guidance, as we see, is in the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim afdhalu salatu wasalam, and the idea of the Prophet's household. We see that it parallels this concept or this idea of the strong house that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's mentioning in this verse as well. The Prophet himself, he gives a parable. He says, Inna mathala ahla bayti fikum mathalu safinatu nuhin. That the parable of my Ahlul Bayt, of my household among you, is the parable of the ship of Noah, the ship of Noah. That if you enter upon that ship, if you ride upon that ship, then you will save yourself from drowning. Meaning that the most firmest of household, not only in the point of security, knowledge, guidance, is the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one of the best examples of this, and one of the best proofs of this, is this blessed month of Ramadan. Not only is this a month of the Quran, but it is also a month of dua. And if we look at the dua that has been handed down to us by the Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhalu salatu wasalam, dua Joshan Kabir, dua Abu Hamza Thumali, the many du'as of Imam Zain al-Abidin in this month, the many du'as of Imam Sadiq and other imma alayhim afdhalu salatu wasalam in this month. It is amazing. And what is even more amazing is that when we read this du'a, not only to gain our hajat, this is one of the purposes of the du'a, to recite the du'a, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, to have our prayers answered, our needs fulfilled. But when we read these du'as as well, we see that in these du'as, there's knowledge, there's guidance. And even one of the most amazing aspects about the du'a is that when we read du'a and we read the Qur'an, we see a parallel between the Qur'an and du'a. As if there's a conversation that is going on between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his servant. Conversation going on between Allah and the Prophet, Allah and the Imams alayhim afa والسلام, the conversation between Allah and Fatima Zahra salam alayha. And if we read the Quran and we read the du'as in this manner, that's to understand them, to understand this relationship and this conversation between Allah and His servant, to understand that how we need to be the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how we need to communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First and foremost for ourselves, and then secondly for our house, our own household, to strengthen our households, to fortify our household, to make our house and our home not only a place of security and a place of comfort that we lay our heads at night, but also a place of guidance. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives all of us success in reading the Quran in this month and understanding the Quran in this blessed month, reading the du'as and understanding these du'as. أسأل الله التوفيق لي ولكم وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.